Thank you. Sorry about this technical difficulty, but I think because of the mini course this morning and the other talks in the afternoon and Dr. Wang's talk yesterday, I have a really easy job to just use the time frequency tools to, you know, to in the application. So I'll speak fast. All right. So the work actually is done with my student Chen Liu and me, who is sitting in the audience also. And it's ongoing work. We just started to work on that this year. So basically, I'd like to, well, we heard of the term instantaneous frequency already. So I'll just, you know, give you a kind of historical background on the two different quantities, frequencies and instantaneous frequency, and then talk about, you know, how the time frequency analysis is used, the relationship of time frequency analysis with the instantaneous frequency, and then talk about, you know, estimate two quantities, instantaneous frequency and instantaneous amplitude, and conclude with few remarks. So what is the frequency? Everybody knows that the frequency actually defines as the number of oscillations or the number of wave numbers happened per unit time. So in this case, we have two different frequency components where the blue curve actually has a low frequency, then lower frequency than the red curve, which has more wave numbers than the blue one. So the frequency usually, you know, just measured usually, you know, by hertz or inverse of second. And let's consider a case when the frequency, simple case, when frequency actually is really a sum of harmonic sinusoid. So in that case, the wavelet, Fourier transform can really down the job to find out what frequency component inside of this signal x of t. And, you know, everybody knows that by doing the inverse Fourier transform, we can, you know, reconstruct the original signal. And the Fourier analysis is only ideal for stationary signal where the frequency characteristic of the signal does not change over time. And when the frequency content does change with respect to time, then the Fourier analysis sometimes is not good enough. So, and then people think of, you know, some other term, try to capture the time-varying nature of the non-stationary signal. So, you know, an intuitive way to look at that is just to use the, you know, treated the energy of the signal or the spectral of the spectral energy as the probability density function, and then define the first and the second moment or the mean and the standard deviation of those energy functions to describe the mean arrival of the time and time spread of the signal or the existence, temporal existence of the signal, or the, you know, the average dominant, the average frequency occurred in the signal, and then the frequency bandwidth of that signal. So here, the E sub x is really the energy of that signal. So, and, you know, there's an interesting relationship related to the time spread and the frequency spread, T and B, which tells us that the product of these two quantities has a lower bound. Then that indicates that a signal cannot have arbitrarily small support in both time and the frequency. And another notion, actually, Dr. Rob Stockwell already mentioned that if the signal actually is a Gaussian function, then this lower bound can be reached. So, you know, the Heisenberg inequality is the uncertainty principle that governs the time and the frequency resolution in the time frequency analysis. So here is an example to show how those mean and the standard deviation of the signal energy can describe the instantaneous information occurred in the signal. So this is just a simple sinusoid modulated by a Gaussian function. So if we calculated the mean time of the T, which is the time spread of this signal, which actually clearly indicates the majority signal actually only exists within this time interval. And if we calculate the mean frequency and then the frequency bandwidth, and then we know roughly what is the frequency content in this signal. So, you know, with this two simple statistical quantity, we can easily know how the frequency or how the signal evolve with time. However, well, we see this picture in the Robert's talk already. However, in some cases, you know, the those four statistical quantities are not enough. So this is a chirp function. This is a chirp function in another direction, and both of them have the similar frequency spectral. So from this plot, it's hard to really tell how the frequency content or how the signal evolve with time. So, you know, people have to think another way to deal with the to capture the instantaneous frequency happened in the non-stationary signal. So another way actually was based on the analytic signal proposed by Gabor. Gabor actually proposed to define a unique for each real valued signal. He proposed to define a unique complex signal that associated with the real signal, and we call this analytic signal, where the real part is the original signal, and the imaginary part is really, you know, the Hilbert transform of the original signal, which defined as the convolution of the signal with 1 over pi tau. And the PV here denoted as the Cauchy principal value of this integral. And this is a rather complicated way to calculate the Hilbert transform. So what Hilbert transform does, which is equivalently to eliminate the negative frequency and all the negative frequency while keep all the positive frequency but multiply by 2. So here is the example. So on the right-hand side, we have a real signal, and this is the Fourier, the amplitude of the Fourier spectrum of the real signal. And, you know, they are symmetric in both the respect to the negative and the positive frequency. And then here's the analytic signal that we calculate, where the blue curve is a real signal and the green curve is the imaginary part of the analytic signal. And we calculate the Fourier spectrum of this analytic signal, all the negative frequency disappeared, while the positive frequency being the magnitude of the positive frequency being doubled. And the DC term remained the same, or zero frequency remained the same. So with the analytic signal, we can define two quantities to capture the you know, instantaneous information of the signal. So we can define the amplitude of the analytic signal as instantaneous amplitude that described, you know, at time t, how the what is the amplitude of the oscillation of the signal. And then we can also use the derivative of the phase with respect to t to define the instantaneous frequency. So the instantaneous frequency is a conceptual concept that try to capture the local frequency content happened around time t. So here is a simple example where we just take, you know, the analytic, just take the harmonic sinusoid, and we can write that as, you know, AT, which is the amplitude, and plus a phase. As you can see that, you know, based on the stationary phase principle, the Fourier spectral of this analytic signal reaches its maximum at the instantaneous frequency fi. So this tells us, you know, the energy of this signal actually is concentrated around the frequency where the phase of the signal is stationary. So the instantaneous frequency is the concept of instantaneous frequency is really based on the stationary phase principle. So by taking the derivative of the phase being zero, we'll get, you know, this definition of the instantaneous frequency. So here's an example where I take a chirp function and modulated by a Gaussian function. And again, you know, I draw both the real and the imaginary part of the analytic signal. And then here is the where this line shows the where the instantaneous frequency is, and the color coding indicated the instantaneous amplitude. So the more red, the red means higher amplitude, and the blue means lower amplitude. So from this graph, one can easily tell how the frequency content and amplitude evolve with time. However, you know, the instantaneous frequency, although physically or ideally we like, you know, instantaneous frequency to be close as possible to the Fourier frequency, but these two are really different, two different quantities. So here I show an example where, you know, the signal is just a sum of two sinusoid function, where the amplitude, both amplitude are constant, and omega 1 are the angular frequency. So by simple calculation, we can get the phase of the this analytic signal as this one and the amplitude as that one. And as you take the derivative of this phase, which gives us the instantaneous frequency as the following. So as you notice that the instantaneous frequency of the sum of two sinusoids is not really the average of these two frequencies. So when we choose the omega 1 and omega 2 differently, so we can get, you know, either below omega, below the minimum frequency or above the, you know, the minimum maximum frequency. So it could be outside of the interval of the minimum and maximum frequency. So in this sense, when we use the instantaneous frequency, we have to use it carefully. And then there are some literature actually showing the condition when the instantaneous frequency makes the physical sense. It has to be under certain conditions. So here is a graphical example of the to illustrate the same point. So here I have a multiple component, especially here, where, you know, this is just the sum of a two sinusoid function. As we can see that, you know, in this two area, the instantaneous frequency is really not what we expected. And notice that those, you know, few points actually outside of this, so this high frequency actually is at 0.4 and low frequency at 0.1. So, you know, the instantaneous frequency really outside of this frequency bandwidth. So what we got here, so on one side, we have the concept of frequency, which is unambiguous. So the frequency tried to measure the number of periodic event occurred per unit time. So, but, you know, the instantaneous frequency is really a local concept. Conceptually, the instantaneous frequency can be interpreted as a frequency of the of some sinusoid that locally fit the signal. So, the frequency and the instantaneous frequency are really two different quantities. They are only related in the sense that the average frequency in its Fourier spectral is equal to the time average of the instantaneous frequency. So in that sense, they are related. However, actually in the literature, it shows that there are five parallels between these two concepts. And so the concept of the instantaneous frequency is really unclear. And the mathematical description and understanding of this concept is really still an open question. And the estimation of the instantaneous frequency is really application related, and usually, you know, by certain numerical algorithm or certain or defined by a certain definition. And so, you know, there is one question: why we bother to study the instantaneous frequency on the other side. So the sometimes when we have the you know, the Fourier spectral, which although can tell us the frequency content in the signal, or the time frequency representation, which can tell us how the roughly the frequency varies with respect to time. But in certain applications, such as the tracking the moving object, try to measure the speed, things like that, we have to have a precise measurement of the frequency content. So the instantaneous frequency actually provides some useful information about some physical quantities, which can be very helpful in the signal detection, traction, or modeling estimation. And also in reality, most of the signals are not, you know, single component. So we notice that the definition, the derivative of the phase gives us a single valued function, which means at each time point, we can only have one instantaneous frequency. And in many cases, lots of the signal are multi-component, and the plus often, they often corrupted by noise. So under those circumstances, the simple derivative of the phase use the derivative of phase to define the instantaneous frequency sometimes loses meaning when dealing with the multi-component signal. So we have to think of a better way to capture the time-varying nature of the non-stationary signal. And that comes, you know, with the whole bunch of time frequency analysis, which provide a natural tool to estimate those. And here I just, you know, list a few current techniques to estimate the instantaneous frequency. And one type of estimator is not based on the time frequency analysis, so which I won't talk about that too much. And then, so, you know, those estimators about, you know, using the different phase difference estimator are counting the number of zero crossings per minute. Some other, you know, iterative way of polynomial fitting to define the instantaneous frequency. But all those are quite, you know, sensitive to noise, and sometimes they are, you know, they are suitable for the monocomponent signal, but, you know, may not be suitable for the multiple component signal. And the other means to use the time frequency distribution to estimate the instantaneous frequency, including based on the first movement of the time frequency distribution. So where the rho tau k here defines a bilinear time frequency distribution. And Cohen is the first one to study that. And this one also is quite computationally intensive and is sensitive to noise. And what we really interested is, you know, the peak detection method on the time frequency distribution. This is because the time frequency distribution is naturally or specially designed to deal with a multi-component non-stationary signal. And the peaks, the energy of the time frequency distributions peaks around the instantaneous frequency. So searching the peaks of the time frequency distribution is a natural way to find out the instantaneous frequency component. And to have a good estimator for the instantaneous frequency, it requires the time frequency distribution to have a high, good time frequency resolution, and meanwhile to have, ideally to have a zero cross term interference. And there are a few time frequency distribution that often used in the instantaneous frequency estimation, which are a Wigner view distribution, short-time Fourier transform, and a wavelet transform, where we mostly talk about Mollet wavelet transform. And all those actually have been talked and discussed previously, so I won't talk about them too much, but just to highlight for each of those time frequency distribution, there are advantages and limitations in estimating the instantaneous frequency. So the first class is a bilinear Wigner view distribution, which is, pretty much is a Fourier transform of the autocorrelations of the signal itself. And Wigner view distribution has a nicely energy concentration around the instantaneous frequency if the signal is a linear frequency modulated with a constant amplitude and with no noise. And it can be shown, actually, this Wigner view distribution is just a rho of delta function. That's ideal to concentrate it around the instantaneous frequency. But however, its a bilinear form creates some cross-term interference and destroys the time frequency distribution, can give us a poor estimation on the instantaneous frequency. So here are a few examples. So similarly, a chirp modulated by a Gaussian function, and then this is a Wigner view distribution. See, because this is a linear modulated signal, see how nicely the energy is concentrated around the instantaneous frequency. However, when we deal with a multi-component signal, here we just have two chirps, sum of the two chirp function, then the Wigner view distribution creates some cross term in between. So when we do the peak detection, this will give us some false instantaneous frequency component. So the cross term interference in the Wigner view distribution is really a drawback in the Wigner view in estimating the instantaneous frequency. And another type is the Gabor transform, where the window function is used as a Gaussian function. This is because the Gaussian function provides an optimal time to join time frequency resolution, and also is compatible with the Stockwell transform that we're going to use it later. So again, for the same signal, and this is the time frequency distribution provided by the Gabor transform. And although the energy is concentrated around the instantaneous frequency, and we can see the energy actually is spread over its neighborhood. And also we can notice that because of its constant window, the resolution is the same at all the frequency. And with the multi-component signal, if we don't choose the window width properly, we may misinterpret what's happened in the frequency component. See, this is a two separate high-frequency burst, which is not separated, by the Gabor transform due to the improper choice of the window function, window width. So to summarize, the Gabor transform works well if the signal is stationary at within the window that we choose, but not really a stationary signal. And its constant window width is really a drawback in using to estimate the instantaneous frequency, because at low frequency we want the high frequency resolution. If it has a constant frequency resolution, we may not be able to separate the two components well. And another type is a continuous wavelet. And with a continuous wavelet transform, I want to make one point, is if we choose different model wavelet function, then we get a different looking of time frequency distribution. So this is a really, you know, really difficult to understand what's going on in the frequency content, although the scaling factor is inversely related to the frequency. And for many model wavelet, there isn't a direct relationship of the scaling factor with the Fourier frequency, although for some, there is a direct conversion between the scaling factor and the Fourier frequency. For example, Mollet wavelet is one of them. So with Mollet wavelet, we can actually, you know, use this linearly inverse relationship between the scaling factor S and the Fourier frequency K. And from now on, when we mention about wavelet transform, we'll use the Mollet wavelet transform, because we can understand the exactly frequency content of the signal. So again, the same signal, and this is what the time frequency distribution given by the Mollet wavelet. And notice that the scaling is inverse related to the frequency. So this is really, you know, a slightly different looking than before. So the limitation of the model wavelet using the continuous wavelet transform in IF estimation sometimes there is no direct relationship between the scaling factor and the Fourier frequency, and then the absolute phase information is not completely reserved, as what Rob talked about. So what we propose is to use the Stockwell transform, and everybody by now understand what is a Stockwell transform, so I'll skip that. But I would like to mention that the Stockwell spectral has a close relationship with the Fourier spectral, which is one bonus to estimate the instantaneous frequency. And here's an example just to show, you know, the same sinusoid function where the Stockwell spectral has the energy concentrated at the instantaneous frequency F0. And this is the Stockwell spectral time frequency distribution to this same signal. Notice that the frequency resolution changes with respect to the frequency. And with multi-component analysis, it doesn't have any cross-term interference, because the Stockwell transform is a linear operator. And so to compare all this different time frequency distribution, here we just use the sum of two sinusoid function, and then we cut one cross session at a time point, and this is what we get with the Wienerville distribution. You know, the middle term is the cross term interference, and this is given by the Gabor transform. Notice there's some oscillation here between the two component, and this is given by the Mollet wavelet. And again, you know, there's it's not as smooth as the peak distribution given by the Stockwell transform. So this suggests that the Stockwell transform can provide a good estimator for the instantaneous frequency. So here, just list, you know, the other positive side of the Stockwell transform in the IF estimation, which I mentioned before. So when we give a multi-component signal, what we do is we just, you know, use the peak detection method to detect all the different frequency component happened in the time frequency distribution given by the Stockwell spectral. So mathematically, it can formulate it by this. So where we look for the local maximum along the Stockwell spectral. And this is the one example where we study the monocomponent nonlinear instantaneous frequency where the frequency actually is changes as a sinusoid with respect to time. So this is the real signal, and this is the true IF law, the true frequency component. And this is the instantaneous frequency estimated by the Wienerville distribution. Notice that there is a spike here, which is indicate the cross-term interference. And then this is given by the Gabor transform. It's not very smooth, although it's better than the Mollet wavelet transform. And the last one is given by the Stockwell transform, which is fairly close to the original instantaneous frequency. And since most of the signal we measured in reality may be contain certain amount of noise, so we, you know, for the previous example, we add a different amount of noise to the same signal and see how the different estimator performed in estimating the instantaneous frequency. So the red curve is the true instantaneous frequency component, and then the the black dot are the estimation given by the Stockwell estimator, and then the blue dot given by the Wienerville distribution, and then the rest will be, you know, the other transform like a Gabor and the Mollet wavelet will just give us too much oscillation in the presence of noise. So that's why we didn't put it there. Notice that SNR is the signal to noise ratio. The high SNR means the low level of noise, and then low SNR means high level of noise. So as we can see that with the amount of noise increases, the Wienerville distribution really sensitive to the amount of noise present in the signal, while the ST estimator still behaves relatively good.